Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. In our ongoing studies, we're now ready to look at James chapter 3. And again, reading from the New King James, the Bible says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." What wonderful gems we have in this chapter 3 of the book of James. Lovely part of God's inspired message for us. Verse 1 I mentioned many times in teaching and preaching because it is heavy on the mind of those who attend to God's Word and to teaching and preaching God's Word. There's a stricter, a heavier judgment that falls upon those that are purporting to teach the truth. Truth is in God's Word. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." We can be set apart by the gospel, by the truth that is in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can be disciples, true disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we follow the truth, the word of the living God. We all make mistakes, and we're going to offend in word. Sometimes it is not our intention to even say the least little thing that would cause someone to offend, and yet we do. Sometimes it is not our fault, and therefore there is a manner in which we can be offensive and be right in the sight of God, like Jesus Christ our Lord's example, for he did no sin. But there's also the matter of running roughshod over those who are tender plants, and this is not acceptable. Oh, we do not compromise truth. We should not apologize for the truth. Sometimes when we know we're going to step on people's toes and we're going to reprove or rebuke as opposed to exhorting in that particular lesson, there are admonitions. There are things that need to be called out. Sin must be called sin in order to properly fight the devil and allow audiences that hear the voice of teachers teaching the truth to understand. Or God is not pleased. God set it up this way. God knew what was best for us all. But we have to be very careful as teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. The tongue that is used to teach the Word of God is also used to teach partial truths. When Abraham said on two occasions, I believe, that Sarah was his sister, there was some truth in that statement. But he did not tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He was trying to hide the fact that Sarah was his wife, else he would not have mentioned this before they went in before Pharaoh. Interesting, isn't it? Abraham was a mighty man of God, but Abraham was human just like you and I. God warned Pharaoh in a dream, and Pharaoh became aware before he committed something that would be sinful and could have grave consequences from God. And he asked a question directly to Abraham. Why didn't you tell me this woman is your wife? And Abraham reveals, well, I thought I might be killed because then you could take her for your wife. Pharaoh says, get on down the road, so to speak. We need to be careful that we don't fall into traps where we teach something as the truth and we can say, and we'll be tempted as teachers to do this, well, I told them the truth, but we didn't tell them the rest of the truth, the needed part of the truth. We need to call sin, sin. We need to deal with hard issues. We need to please God because this matter is serious unto the salvation or the damnation of souls. And the souls are the most precious possession that both those doing the teaching and those who are in the audience listening and studying have. This is not some gamble over a nickel or something of some inconsequence. No, the matter of truth or consequences is grave and eternal. If you believe in a heaven and a hell, then we need to wake up if we're in sleep and slumber, and get about the business of our King. And that includes rightly dividing and understanding what sin is, how we remit sin in our lives, and then encourage those that are the closest to us, and then we broaden out and try to teach, yes, even our enemies, that they need to repent while there is time and opportunity in order to be saved. And to continue on that path, that they might and we might be saved eternally. The tongue is a very small member. And in addition to making mistakes with regard to just teaching God's Word, we can make sins of the tongue with our interactions with our brothers and sisters in Christ and with those who are not members of the body of Christ. Children can lie to their parents. Didn't know I had that test, but they did. They lied. Well, they tell the teacher, the dog ate my homework. Well, I'm sure that on some occasion there has been someone's homework that has gotten eaten, truthfully, by the dog. I believe that. But not to the degree that so many children use that excuse slant lie. Yes, excuse slant lie when it is not the case that a dog ate the homework. But it is the case that the child did not, the student did not do the homework. Yes, crowds were incited to riot and to unruly activity just around Jesus Christ. He was a very controversial figure. And when Paul would speak to an audience and he starts to speak in the Hebrew tongue, they quiet down. Because Greek, Koine Greek, was the language of the Roman Empire at the time of the New Testament being written and spoken. And so a Hebrew might know indeed Hebrew. They might indeed know Greek to get along in town and be able to converse with those that were in the great Roman Empire. And so when a person who would normally speak Koine Greek gets an audience and begins to speak in the Hebrew tongue, Paul knew how to speak Hebrew. They listened the more carefully. They wanted to lean forward, so to speak. What's he going to say? What's he teaching? Yet when he got to the point in his lesson about how God was opening up the gospel, yea, salvation, to the Gentiles, they wanted to run upon him and stomp upon him and gnash him with their teeth and throw rocks at him. Kill the man. Yeah, there was a tremendous amount and still exists today, not only with regard to the Jewish nation and Gentiles, both ways, but with regard to racism in America. And it is not limited to our country alone. Talk to someone who comes to America, compliments America on so many things, and this is a wonderful country. I love your country. That's great. That's great. But there's still big problems in America. And we need to try as Christians to begin by living appropriately to the Word of God, and we can be a great example to try to influence others and pray that things will change. Talk to people about what's right in the sight of God. But the many will be the evil. The many will be lost. So we recognize that though it may seem futile, we are to be examples of the believers, and we are to pray that things will go well, and we should live a sermon every day. Coming toward the ends of our time, and we see that in chapter 3 we are to have this wisdom that is from above, and we're to have meekness. It doesn't mean that you are weak when you are meek. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. This passage is found in Matthew 11 in verse 29. I'd like to read some of the other verses, the other translations, I mean, of this same verse to let us have a glimpse of what some other translation committees decided, whether they be one that was doing the paraphrase, like the New Living Translation, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. English Standard Version, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The Berean Study Bible, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. New American Standard Version, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. New King James, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. King James Bible, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Christian Standard, because I am lowly and humble in heart. Contemporary English Version, I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. Good News Translation, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. See the similarity of meek and gentle, and lowly and humble, meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Not much difference in that, except for the King James rendering. Thank you so much for listening today. Let us keep these and other things in mind.